Brother Alex and Sister Emily speaking, so whichever one of you want to come first, you're welcome to come up here.
So we're going to start out with prayer. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us, Lord. Dear Lord, please help us in this lesson, Lord. Help us to say whatever you'd have us to say, Lord. Take us out of ourselves, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, for the good day. And just do me pray. Amen.
So, thinking about what to bring to you guys. And I know people hate to hear the word wait, but this is something that you should wait for. And the right one is worth the wait. I thought of the song While I'm Waiting. And I'll try to sing it because the words sound funny if you just read them. While I'm waiting, I will serve you while I'm waiting. I will worship while I'm waiting. I will not faint. I'll be running the race even while I wait. And the first little section was while I wait, or while you wait. And make sure you worship while you wait. I think it's very, very important not to get too distracted by searching for a companion.
So worship can include many things. Making yourself busy for the Lord, like singing specials and testifying, visiting the sick and writing cards.
Just along with that, God has a work for you now. Don't feel that you must have a companion to fulfill your purpose. I think I personally got tied up in this myself, feeling that I had to have somebody to fulfill my purpose in life. And God has something for you now while you're single. And sometimes there's works that you can do while you're single that you can't do when you have a companion. And there's things that he has for you now. I heard a quote once that said, until you're comfortable with being single with God, then you're not ready to date. That was a really, really interesting quote.
So spend time with God now. Get involved in youth, in church, go to revivals. Make time for God. You have the least busiest life right now and the most free time. So spend time with God.
Seeking the right one, and looking for a companion, look for someone that has the same intentions as you, that will fight for the good of the relationship and just not fleshly desires and selfish desires, really, when they just want things that are not really supposed to be. Like in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, be ye not unequally yoked together. It's important to find somebody that's saved and that is serving the Lord and has a strong relationship with the Lord. A very spiritual person combined with the wrong person with bad intentions is a recipe for failure. You can be as spiritual as can be, but if you get somebody that doesn't have the same intentions as you, has bad desires, they can take you down really, really quickly.
Another point in seeking the right one, find someone that has the same or very similar convictions as you. A while back, before me and Alex started talking, I had some questions about him, so we met up at Big Apple and we talked for a while, and we ended up realizing that we had a lot of similar convictions, and that makes a relationship a lot easier if you have similar convictions. You need to have the same intentions, an intention to keep things pure and have a desire to be pleasing to God. The flesh is strong in a relationship. Everyone has natural desires that God gives us, but the devil wants to use them to make us fall. In Galatians 5 and 16, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have to have a good relationship with God before getting into a relationship.
Yeah, I know Emily probably didn't want me to say this, but I'm very thankful for Emily being strong in the relationship. It was a very good thing, and I'm thankful for that.
Getting to know each other in groups. Make sure you spend time in group settings, not always just you two alone. Watch them and learn about them in a group setting. See their actions with others. And also try to spend time outside of church also to see how they act.
Waiting. God's perfect person for you may not be ready for a relationship. with you, or you may not be ready for a relationship with them. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm 16 and I'm ready to date. Where's my person at? God, why isn't he here yet? Why isn't she here yet? Sometimes they may not be ready. Sometimes you may not be ready. Thinking that you need somebody right when you're 16 might not be the most advantageous thought. Certainly you want a companion, but sometimes we have to wait on them. God makes you ready for a relationship. So spend time with God and in the scriptures. God knew that I personally would have been very distracted in school and college if I had a girlfriend during that time. And, you know, certainly I wanted a companion, but I'm thankful that God's plan worked it the way that it did, and that I was able to get through school and college with as many distractions as I did, and that was enough, so the Lord knew that. Keep waiting on God and stay strong. Don't let the world, life, and expectations beat you down. Don't be depressed if you're 16 and don't have a girlfriend or boyfriend. You have plenty of time. God's time is perfect. I don't know if my brother Steve remembers it. I think I may have talked to him or not. But there was a time, probably several years ago now, but there was a time that I felt I didn't fit in the youth group. And I felt like that, you know, I was too old for the youth and I didn't fit in with the youth crowd. And I'm thankful that with godly counsel that I stayed in youth, because the devil wants you to pull you away from the group as far as like your community of youth. And even if you don't feel like you fit in, you should stay around. And eventually God will bless you with the right companion. And I'm so glad that I stayed.
Next, taking it slow. When you are young, you should wait as long as possible to hold hands, to kiss, to hug, just to physically touch.
In a relationship, things usually don't progress away from physical touch without God's help. You know, they don't go in the reverse direction usually without God helping you. If you're 14, 15, 16, and know that you can't be married for at least 4 to 5 years, things can be very bad if they start off that way. A kiss or a hug can completely change the dynamics of your relationship. Learn to take temptations and desires to God. It's important that you don't let your girlfriend or boyfriend be a distraction to you. Don't let them become too important in your life. Your love for God has to be greater. It's important to have personal time with God, separate from your companion, and with your companion is good. But it's really easy to get into a relationship and naturally you think a lot of this person if you like them, but it's really, really easy to think way too much of them and think more of them than your time with God. About our relationship, keeping it real, we don't want to be just present all of the good things. We want to give you an accurate picture. There are different things that we would do differently if we could do them over again. You know, that we've had different things that we wish we could have done differently.
Life is difficult, and two becoming one can be very difficult. That's why you need God very much in your relationship. Learn how to navigate through disagreements, because you'll come to them. You need to be humble. You need to pray before you speak. That's very important. And you need to be willing to forgive each other. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5 says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil." Another thing, something to know is that girls and guys communicate differently. Guys may seem blunt and harsh sometimes, but they do have a heart. Not all words come out as they're intended to when they speak. And then sometimes girls, or I guess I, hold things or feelings back, but you shouldn't. But you also have to pray before you speak to one another. But you also have to figure out how one another communicates so you can communicate better. Waiting on God and the right one is worth it. The right companion from God is a huge blessing and one of the best gifts you can receive from God.
Very thankful for Emily and God helping us. We are very excited for the wedding and a little nervous. Getting married is a huge step in life. We will pray for you, and we hope that you will pray for us. We want the best for you guys. Remember to stay saved, and good things come to those who wait. And I wanted to read a scripture in Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And sometimes it does become difficult, you know. I was 27, for example, when you feel like, oh God, where is my companion at? You know, I've been waiting for a long time. But don't give up. God still hears your prayers, and God has somebody for you.
We are thankful for the youth group, for you guys, and for our faithful youth leaders, and our brother and sister Decker, and our good parents, and we will love and miss you all. And that's all we have.
We love each one of you.
If there's anyone here tonight, we appreciate, first of all, Brother Alex and Sister Emily. Appreciate their faithfulness to the Lord. We're thankful for them, and we wish them well. We wish them well on their new journey, and it is a journey. And so we are going to ask those who maybe have some well wishes or maybe a memory that they have of Brother Alex or Sister Emily. I guess we have a lot of parents and some other people. They can also get up and share as well. But anyway, we're going to go ahead now. And if you would, come up here. And if you have, you know, a well wish or a memory of either one of them. So we'll go ahead and we'll start with whoever would like to do so.
Okay, I'm going to say something nice about Emily before I tell this funny story. I look up to Emily, and I think she's very sweet. Sometimes I lose my temper and get angry at people, but then I look at Emily and I'm like, oh, she's so like sweet and tenderhearted. So I look up to her in that way. And now, the funny story. So in March, when me and James and Emily and Alex went to Cincinnati, we were riding bikes. And we were riding down like the actual road, but there was like trolley tracks, what are they called? And Emily's bike got caught in it. And then she like fell to the ground, but she bounced right back up. So that was good. She didn't get hurt, but I just thought that was funny.
I just want to say I'm really thankful for Alex and Emily both because they're just such good spiritual influences, and you just look up to them, and they're very spiritual and very good guides, and they're both very sweet and welcoming and just invite people out, and they're just very good examples. I'm thankful for them.
Well, I want to say I'm very grateful for them too. They're really great people to me, and they mean a lot to me, and Emily is very, very strong and very, very sweet, and she always has a smile at you know, around everybody else. And Alex is a really good person. He sends me these long texts, like no, it's a good thing. Like these inspiring descriptions of a scripture, like a story behind it, and that's very inspiring, very, very true. A spiritual brother would do. And I was very grateful for both of them, and the most fond memory I have of them is helping them take pictures, and, you know, took really nice ones this afternoon, and, you know, it's very, very great to make memories with pictures, and that picture of Damon and Alex, I took that picture. And you'll know it for the rest of your lives. But I love you both very much, and good luck on your journey, and I pray to God I can come. because I have a turtleneck shirt I like to wear. Love you both.
All right, so something about Alex that I like, he makes us laugh, and it's not the jokes that are funny, it's the dry shaking of the shoulders after the jokes. And yeah, he's fun to be around sometimes. He's pretty quiet, but... and then Emily, I'll say something that's funny. One time when we were like 10, and my mom's not gonna know exactly what story I'm about to tell, but actually I was probably like maybe 11, and me and Emily were fighting in her room, and I called her a liar, and I went to go down the steps, and like our second floor like looked over our steps, and she had like a suitcase that's like this big, and she just picked it up and just threw it over the staircase and hit me in the head. But then a good thing about Emily, if you know Emily, she's very faithful. She will literally we can't even walk into her room sometimes because she's always on her knees or she's always in her Bible, and I think that's very encouraging.
Oh, the stories that could come across this mic. But I don't want to embarrass them too awful bad. So I will say, Alex's texts have been mentioned quite a lot here recently, and I will say they've gotten to me too. They were a really, really, really big encouragement for me whenever I went backslid. And it was due to those texts that there were a lot of good thoughts came to mind. Really appreciate Alex and Emily both. Been a big time encouragement to me.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of sad, to be honest. I didn't really... Me and my dad were talking one time. Wow, I'm not going to tell that story. Man, you act like you're not going to cry. Okay, oh, I got that over with. I'm just going to close my eyes. Well, I'm thankful for Emily spiritually. She's definitely shown me what I should do. Sometimes you walk in there, though, and she's praying, and you come back in an hour later, and she's still praying, and then you realize she's asleep. She likes to set all these alarms to wake up in the morning at like 6 o'clock. She wakes up, she reads her Bible, and goes back to sleep. Don't ask me how when you wake up that you're thinking about what you read, but... I guess faithful somehow, right? But yeah, and then Alex, we went to his bachelor party and we went shotguns, right? I realized Alex had a $2,000 gun, but he wasn't very good at using it. I did beat him with a 1940 gun, Alex, was it? But yeah, I'm thankful for them. Might cry on the day of, but that's life.
I don't know nothing about Emily and Alex, what I know, but I don't know. First, I met Alex, and I thought this man is a 7-foot center, NBA player, in my opinion. And I was wrong, but he can shoot. I give him that. We played multiple rounds of basketball, loved it. But Alex is a good friend. He's been there for me since I've known him. Good friend. Works on a lot. Love the death for it. I love you. Congrats, man. Emily is like that sister to me. She's very cool, calm, collective, very funny, easy to get around to. Love her for it. Congrats, Emily. You got a good man. Just watch him. He's a little funny on the outside, just a little review a little bit. Yeah, but congrats, you two. You two have been a big inspiration for me. I love y'all. Congrats.
Very good.
No, it's not notes, it's just a scripture. Came to mind. Most men will proclaim everyone his goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Proverbs 20:6. As we were sitting there, that came to my mind. Every man will proclaim his goodness. Alex is up here to proclaim his goodness, so I think there's moments when you have to come up here and proclaim his goodness yourself, that others know. And I'd like to change that second part from a faithful man to a faithful friend. And Alex has definitely been a faithful friend throughout my life. I think back of the times when, you know, first starting out in the youth group and our younger years, what an encouragement it was to have friends like Alex and Paul, and how we went to the front row, and so many memories that we could speak of singing together and goofing off together, and those are invaluable. And it's definitely things we look back and cherish. And so I just want to come up here and say I'm very thankful for Alex. And there's something special about having a Christian friend in high school and college. We went to our first year of college here together at OSUN, and then our second and maybe part of our third year of college, we drove together back and forth to Columbus, so we had a lot of time with each other. And it's good to have a faithful friend that will keep you inspired for the Lord, challenge you, and cause you to want to be better. And I really suggest finding a friend like Alex. If you can find one in the youth group, find them and get close. That's just what I wanted to say.
Yeah. So I've known Alex and Emily for about 5 years now. I remember when I moved here, Emily was just somewhat of a girl I didn't know. But in the last few years, I've had a lot of different opportunities to actually get to know who this little girl that I didn't know was. And I find it really interesting when you put Emily and Brie Presley and myself together, they pull out some of the weirdest conversations from me. I don't know what it is, but I feel like it just happens. But they ask really, and Emily's really great with this, just asking different questions that make you think about what you're doing and what you've done and what you've been through. And it's helped me to bring, every once in a while, bring to my remembrance my past and what the Lord has brought me from and to where I am now, and I'm thankful for that. Alex, I've kind of known him a little bit more for a little bit longer. We kind of used to go on bike rides with the group, and I always appreciated how he would push us to go further and work harder and encourage us to work on our, you know, the physical thing. And I think they're both just great people, wonderful, and I'm so happy for you both.
I want to start out by saying I appreciate both of you guys' faithfulness, but I have a really interesting story about Alex. It was TJ's bachelor party, so it was me, Cody, Alex, Russell, and TJ staying in Robbie Bush's barn, and we stayed up till like 3 or 4 in the morning just throwing basketball at each other's faces and taking slow-mo videos and like riding Adeline and Bailey's bikes around their garage. It's hard to think that the majority of the people that were in that room are now engineers, because I feel like that night the combined IQ was like less than 100. So yeah, probably not one of his finest moments, but that's my memory.
Oh, I just want to say that Alex's text, obviously, when you're not doing well, very encouraging. And then the one memory I thought of was we went to, I think it was South Carolina, and we went surfing and trying to get out of the wetsuits in the car there while somebody else walked up and we're just halfway out. It was just a memory that, you know, kind of hard to forget.
I guess I'll be the brave first parent. I just want to stand up and say, Alex, I love you very much. Emily, I love you very much. And you know you'll have our prayers.
Jordan, you ain't got me top. Trust me, I got more stories.
Wow, where do I start at? First of all, I appreciate what God's done. It's you pray for your kids, you want you want your kids to marry somebody so bad? I was raised in a family that wasn't saved. And when you desire your children to marry somebody saved, you pray a lot for them. Right. And I'm thankful God blessed her with somebody. Amen. I told my kids to start praying when they was 8, 9 years old. It's the most important thing. But as far as the stories, Emily was a little over 5 pounds when she was born. 3 months later, she's like 25 or something like that. Her thighs were that big around. Mom would bathe her and have to clean the crevices out. It was horrible. Then she grew up and had stories like Katie just told. Very quiet. The boy, he said the wrong thing to her. It was different. But she's gotten over that, thank God. But then she's learned how to drive. And I just worked on a car for 2 weeks. Finally got it running. Asked her to back it out of the garage. Well, time I went and changed my clothes and somebody's going to town, the whole front clip was sitting on the driveway. She thought she had to turn really sharp out of the garage instead of straight and rip the whole front end off. So that's one memory. But we got to pray with Emily when she was about 8 years old in a cemetery. She was wanting to go down the altar, and I asked her why she wanted to go. And she told me she wanted to be saved. And she told me why. And to us, it was very funny, the reason God convicted her. But to her, it was everything. I told her to quit. I told her they were shooting guns, squirt guns. I said, one more time, that's enough. And she ran out of fluid, I guess, before everybody else. And she went next door to the neighbor's house and got some. And she felt bad about it. She felt she stole it. And she wanted to make things right with God. And we watched her grow since that time, spiritually. Yeah, I catch her sleeping on the couch a lot of times on her knees. But you know, it's better to fall asleep praying than to fall asleep on your phones. It's been a blessing raising her. Not always been easy at times, but it's been a blessing. And I believe God's got great things planned for you too. I believe with all my heart. I watched the devil battle within a relationship. I watched victory come. I watched a lot of things God had his hand in. I'm thankful for that. So that's all I got really to say about Emily, with not too many bad stories. But oh, except one. I'll show you when we go. She used to do this when she'd run, and his hand would go this way. She never could. Oh, and she couldn't do cartwheels or anything. She was very uncoordinated. Alex, just get used to that.
Told myself if Brother Presley got up, I'll do it. He did. So I'm gonna start out with Emily. Once I became friends with James, the whole family just came along. So one time in particular that I can remember is this camp meeting. I was told that I was gonna basically work by myself most of the times in the dish room. And Emily came up when I was peeling potatoes, and she said, I'll help you out if you want me to. Didn't let her. But it was the thought that she came up and asked me. And I remember first time meeting Alex, he was in that inflatable astronaut suit. Before that, I thought of him as a giant. That's what the name was when we called him in the house. But that was the first time I met him, and we chatted a little bit and didn't think anything of it. And then about like 2 weeks later, my sister gets a text from Sister Sherry, like, somebody wants your number. I'm like, don't give it to him. Didn't know who it was for. I'm like, yeah, just give it to her. And then about a week later, he texts me. He's like, hey, this is Alex. And ever since then, I can tell that he's been there for me. Those text messages that he sent, one time I got really sick of him and let my phone die for about 3 weeks. True story. I was in a very bad position in my life, but He was very persistent. He texted my sister. He said, tell your brother to charge his phone. Didn't work most of the times, but she charged it for me and then handed it to me when he texted me. But I tell you, he's been there. He's been very encouraging. If you haven't befriended Alex Orr, you need to.
So, the kids sing that song, Don't Praise Yourself, Let Others Do It. So I'm going to stand up here and give these two a little bit of praise. CJ's right, when you befriend one of them, the whole family is now yours. But I got to get to know Emily a little better once me and James started to be friends. And when I say she's faithful, she's faithful. And when we'd be up late at night doing stupid stuff and stealing, well, not stealing, getting food from the kitchen, we'd walk past her and she's in there. Well, she could have been asleep now that I'm hearing, but on her knees. And then both of them just were so encouraging to me in the way that they reached out to everyone they saw. And if they didn't know someone, they did after they saw them, because they went up and introduced themselves. And just, I have to say, if it wasn't for them, I probably would still be the weird guy in the corner, and I'm just so thankful for the both of them.
Got time for another one.
Well, after I heard the story about Emily hitting Katie with a suitcase, I wasn't going to get up here and say how sweet she was, because I was like, oh, maybe she really wasn't that sweet. She didn't throw a suitcase at me, so she's still always been really sweet to me. She's been an encouragement. She's always been faithful. I appreciate her. Alex, he's always been faithful. We were the oldest young people, and then I got married, and then I left him as the oldest one, so I don't know who's going to be the oldest one when he leaves, but someone's going to have to take that. But we were both 27 when we got married, and that might be depressing for some of you because you're not even close yet. But you need to wait for the right person. You might be 27. You could be older. I think Jason was 39 when we got married, so you might be even older than that. Just saying. So just wait, and God will bless you with the right companion, and more than you could ever hope for. So I just appreciate both of them and their faithfulness, and they mean a lot to me, and I'm really excited for both of you.
Right.
There's a lot I could say about Alex. Mostly, I've never been around Emily too much, but I spent a lot of time at their house when I was younger, and it's good growing up around Alex. He's very faithful, very quiet, hard to get him angry, hard to get him to do anything, really. He's kind of very calm and relaxed, and I think you've got a good one.
So that would be me taking over the oldest young person, by the way. But so Alex and Emily, funny story to start. I can remember talking to Katie about, I was like, I think Alex and Emily would be really good together. And Katie was like, no. but it happened. So, and I think it's a really good thing, by the way. But Alex, for me, he's played a big part, and it seems like a lot of young people's experiences, like Jordan and CJ, and reaching out. So I got saved when I was 20, and I was away for, I don't know that I was ever truly like saved, but I got away, and I never really came to young people's or anything like that. So I questioned myself. I thought maybe there's not really hope for me. I don't know if I could really even get saved, anything like that. I don't know if I could live this way, that type of thing. But Alex wrote a note to me one time and sent it in the mail, and I got it, and I looked at it, and I was like furious at first. Like I literally read it, and I was like, duh. I just threw it on my dresser and I left it there. But that thing like started, it just talked to me. Like maybe somebody cares about you. You should think about that. and like maybe there is hope for you. So throughout that whole summer, like God was talking to me and all that stuff, but that was just a piece of the story that brought me back here, and Alex played just a little bit of hope, you know. That's all it gave me, and it was a big part in me getting saved. So appreciate it, Alex. You guys will do well.
All right. Well, we thank the Lord, both Brother Alex and Sister Emily. I mean, we're going to miss them. As many have stood here and talked about both of their faithfulness. You know, they had troubles. They had troubles just like all young people do. You know, they have their doubts. They have their situations. But, you know, they kept at it. They kept working for the Lord. They kept striving to be better for the Lord. And as we can see, Sister Emily spent a lot of time on her knees. But anyway, whether it's sleeping or praying. But anyway, I guess you could apply that scripture, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest, right? So, but we appreciate them so very, very much. We appreciate their faithfulness. And you know, as we heard young people talking, you know, about, you know, Brother Alex's text, I get his text as well. And, you know, they are an encouragement. And so who's going to be the one to step into their shoes and be that encourager, being that one that reaches out, being that one? Maybe there are some already. But, you know, sometimes when we lose people onto another work, you might say, or whatever, it leaves a hole, right? It leaves a hole. And so, you know, we've got a lot of young people. Got a lot of young people in here that, you know, it's a work that we all can do. And I appreciate, you know, the work that they have done as young people. We appreciate their support. They've been a great help to us as youth leaders. And we want them to know, again, we appreciate them so very much. And we'll be praying for you. We'll be praying for you. You know, as ones get married and as they start their life together, there's going to be some adjustments. You think that my wife and I almost liked each other and dated and whatever you want to call it for almost 6 years. And I still remember our first argument that we had in our little apartment. We both cleaned. We didn't say a word to one another. We both cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. And that thing was cleaned from top to bottom. And then we sat down and talked. But anyway, evidently we must have, what do you want to say, worked out our anger, you might say. But anyway, there's going to be some adjustments that are going to need to be made. And you're getting used to one another and your little quirks and those sorts of things. And, you know, but it's a wonderful life. And we want you to know that we appreciate you.